Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Daily editorial, and this is truly an editorial in the sense that what you're going to get here as we proceed through this discussion is really opinions on what Putin is trying to convince the world that he is doing, basically saving the world from immorality. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think that's a logical direction for him to go because there are a lot of people who really want to see that happen. Jimmy, what do you think?
So I've been watching this very carefully. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of what our listeners say or comment on, at least, you know, from the comments. And I look at a lot of different information out there. And I want to say, hey, I think, you know, as we go through this, let's also talk the economy and talk a little bit about the overall political impact of what Tulsi Gabbard is saying.
Sure.
On the environment, but you know, on the political environment in the U.S. But I think in this specific case on Vladimir Putin and what's happening in Ukraine, I do want to address specifically CFS and a couple of people out there that talked about the missile strikes. And I had made comment yesterday that they random missile strikes. Well, some of them were targeted. But there, you can look at the Daily Mail and you can see numerous that just hit in the middle of the street and hit random civilian targets.
Yeah.
So there are some efforts, and I've mentioned it clearly, to shut down infrastructure, to actually scare people and intimidate them with the firing of their missiles. But ultimately, that's not going to gain a lot of strategic value for Russian operational forces in the east or in either the Donbass in the east or down in the key areas that are protecting the Russian forces in Crimea. You have to take a step back and look at what are you ultimately achieving here. Wouldn't they be better targeting a logistics sustainment sites with accurate cruise missiles on Ukrainian facilities and Ukrainian lines of communication rather than shooting randomly into try to hit infrastructure and shut down the entire country of Ukraine, which they don't have the capability to do that with the exception of nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
So that's the starting point. That's what I wanted to address, you know, from yesterday. When you look at this tactically, what they're doing is somewhat mix and match the Russian forces. And unfortunately, they've got a lack of good command and control throughout the region because they've got multiple types of forces that are fighting. They have very ambiguous commander's intent and objectives. When you defend in a position, you better have a clear reason why to do it, and you've got to have a lot of support to do it. And they're losing both of those, including logistics support. So that's the tactical part of it. Let's look at the strategic part as you started out. And I think we want to talk about where this idea comes from that Russia is somehow I'm seeing it. I understand it. I'm actually looking at it and trying to objectively assess it. Why do many people think that Russia and Vladimir Putin is doing God's work, if you will, in order to push back on a fraudulent, Zelensky, criminal, corrupt Ukraine and NATO?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? So go ahead, Mick. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Well, my point is I think one could argue that some of our bloggers really have an interesting point in the sense that Putin is trying to convince the world that he's basically trying to save it. I mean, he's talking about the Nazi influence in the country that he invaded. He's using that as a bit of a rationale behind invading the country, shifting it away from his concern about NATO, which I think is his main reason for invading Ukraine. But I think that he is counting on the fact, Jim, that not the majority, but a large portion of the world is very fed up with a number of things that are going on. I mean, you know what you and I are basically really anti. I mean, we talk about moral issues. We talk about issues right out of the Bible that our society right now is pushing under the carpet, for lack of better terms. I mean, Putin went so far as to bring the head of the Russian Orthodox Church to the forefront and having him agree with what Putin was saying. It's pretty easy to get your country behind what you're doing if you get somebody as powerful as basically the patriarch of the Russian Church, don't you think?
Right. And I think a lot of people that are frustrated with what's been happening in the world, that's what's been happening with woke agendas, which what's been happening with pushing these green agendas, what has happened to the European Union, where they're actually taking individual rights and control away. I think that there's a lot of people that are beginning that are looking at this war saying, what the heck are we doing there? But right. Also, hey, maybe there's a reason for it that is justified. And that's, in my view, that is a very, very effective information operation that has been conducted by both Russia and China.
You bet.
And a lot of people buy into it because there's some sense to it, you know, and fundamentally, a lot of us agree that woke capitalism, or back basically in my view, you know, corrupt capitalism that, you know, is taking control of so many operations and taking control of so much information through tech and social media efforts, that they, you know, that is something you need to fight back against. I think many of us agree with that. Here's where I disagree. I don't believe that Vladimir Putin is actually really the guy to save Western civilization. I don't think President Xi is the guy to save Western civilization. I think they are authoritarian leaders that are trying to get control and protect their interests in the best way they can. And the unfortunate people that suffer on this, and they say, oh, it's the Russian population in Ukraine and, you know, in the eastern area that they're trying to save and protect. That's been an argument. Like, I was in the Republic of Georgia. I started the program to build the Georgian army against Russian aggression. I lived with the Russian soldiers in the compound next to me. I know how they thought at the time and what they were doing. And believe me, it was awful the way they treated people. And the things that they did in the Republic of Georgia in order to influence power, and control the population, they shut off power from October through March because the Georgians had only lines of supply had come through Russian territories.
Right.
If their hydroelectric plants didn't work. So they basically tried to just crush the Georgian people and the economy. And they did it. 50% unemployment in some places, you know, and it was awful. And I watched them, the impact of leaving radioactive materials buried in the border guard posts inside the Georgian border guard compounds when the Russians withdrew. I saw them leave radioactive materials in Vaziani Air Base when they withdrew.
Yeah.
They, in order to kill people. They are not kind. They do not work in someone else's best interest and for a good cause. They're working. Those leaders are used to a corrupt system that is paid off by corrupt communist ideologies for those in power to keep power and silence any of those that go against them. And that's the way they've operated. And they've done it in order to make a ton of money by controlling the state industries that the former Soviet Union had. And the people that control those industries control the economy, control the people, and control the information. And so they're not out to benefit anyone in Ukraine. And they're not out to save Russians in Ukraine. Vladimir Putin could care less about the Russian population in Crimea. What he cares about is his geostrategic position for the Black Sea Fleet. What he cares about are the oil and gas resources in the Black Sea and in the region around there. What he cares about is actually controlling industry in those eastern areas, industry and agriculture in those eastern areas. And what he cares about is not having a political threat that might overturn his regime or the Belarusian regime of Lukashenko.
I mean, we've known that since day one.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And so anybody that thinks that Vladimir Putin or President Xi are the guys that are coming out to push back against woke deep state people, I think probably ought to open their eyes and have a little bit better understanding of how Russian and Chinese operations work and what the Soviet and communist system did to build that corruption into what is now kleptocracy that runs basically half the world.
Jim, let's swing over to Tulsi Gabbard. She seems to be fitting in. Her philosophy seems to be fitting in to what you're talking about in a macro sense.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I think we can all, most of us, the listeners on this show, I think can all agree that we are tired of the deep state. We're tired of the corruption. We're tired of the woke agendas. We're tired of the pushing children's, you know, gender identity in kindergarten.
Right.
We're tired of open borders. And we want transparency and honesty in the system, which is going to be really hard to get. Tulsi Gabbard has a very good Substack commentary on why she's leaving the Democratic Party. And I think it's an important statement because it goes beyond Tulsi Gabbard. It really explains the problems that are facing America because of the control of the Democratic Party and the one-party rule that they are attempting to impose upon us.
Yeah.
And in her arguments, she goes through, you know, free speech, Second Amendment, corruption in D.C., the fact that these people are out for power and they are not in the best interests of the people that they actually have claimed to support. And she goes in, she said, look, when I was 21 years old, I was looking, I wanted to protect my community, I wanted to be involved, I wanted to protect the environment around Hawaii, the beautiful place she grew up. So I looked and it looked like the Democrats were the places to go, so that's what I joined for. She says,
yeah.
It turns out that that's all a fraud. And I think this is a very important moment for a young, relative, nationally known figure to say, you know, wake up. All you millennials out there, wake up to what's going on and how you're being manipulated. And she's not saying she's going to be a Republican, but, you know, she definitely has views as a libertarian. And I think that's going to resonate to many people out there. And I think it's going to have an impact, not just because of her, but because a lot of people are starting to say, what the heck has been going on with the economy? What's going on with this energy crisis? What's going on with these wars? And she's really adamant against the continuation of this kind of these warmongering Democrats.
Well, the question I have is, are the Republicans going to take what she has to say seriously, or are they going to push it into a different direction? What do you think?
The Democrats or the Republicans?
The Republicans, actually, I'm concerned about right now. I think Tulsi Gabbard is right on personally. And I wonder if I don't see the Republicans necessarily going as emotionally in that direction as they should be.
Well, I don't know. I think that what's happening and what happened in the primaries this year in 2022 were the people that are actually standing up for the same issues that she writes about in that Substack are actually the ones that have won the Republican nominations. And that's what's scaring the heck out of the media. And you know you're having success when the media starts trying to attack you because you're more supportive of American institutions than you are of the party politics. So
why
I think it's
in God's name
are going that direction?
Yeah,
I think they are.
Now, why in God's name would the media not support that?
Well, because so it's very interesting. There's another piece that talks about, and I can't remember. I think it was on the Liberty Daily. There's an article about the left and how they responded to her statements, and it's hilarious. They're like, oh, good riddance, goodbye, and all these attacks on her.
Yeah.
Not on the issues, but on her.
Yeah.
What you hear from Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and many of the Democratic leaders is this pretend patriotism where they say, oh, well, Nancy Pelosi's phenomenal at it. You know, she says, oh, we're here to protect, you know, your civil rights and your free speech, as she's advocating for people to be silenced because of hate speech.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, who decides it's hate speech? Nancy Pelosi? Chuck Schumer? That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, what happens when Republicans take control and then they use the same the same methods. And they say, oh, any hate speech, anybody that said something bad about Donald Trump was a threat to the nation and the security. You know, we could have rolled up the entire Democratic Party and put him in jail after they were screaming and yelling to blow up the White House, you know, Madonna or Kathy Gifford holding his head up. There's all kinds of impacts with that. You could arrest every one of the late night TV hosts for the same justifications that the Department of Justice right now is going after innocent protesters at abortion clinics, Christian protesters. You could do the same exact thing. They don't realize it because they think they have enough power to protect it. But what I think they're going to face is a big backlash because there is frustration within the Republican Party with these senior Republican leaders. And there's a tremendous amount of frustration with the average mom, the average family, with what the Democratic Party's doing. And it's not reflected in the polling right now because they ask the same people the same questions. They're generic questions. And they ask people that have voted Democrat for whatever, 30 years.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a big change if we don't have corruption.
Jimmy, I want you
which
to
we
give-
have it.
Don't have corruption in the voting is something that I think is going to be an interesting phenomenon to try and observe here later on in November, right around the corner. But let me ask you a question. Give me some examples of what, in your opinion, the Democrats are doing to not take advantage of what I think is a move to an extent could be they could claim this was a move in their direction.
The Democrats or the Republicans?
I know the Democrats, I think.
Which part of it? I'm sorry, Al, I don't quite understand
your
question.
Okay, the Democrats on the one hand are, from a moral standpoint, they really are not going in the direction that I'm talking about. But in a macro sense, they are going in the direction of free speech, do what you want, do what you believe is correct, etc.
But they aren't.
No, they're not.
The Democrats are not.
No, I agree.
They're saying,
my question is specifically is why aren't they doing that? It seems like a golden opportunity for them.
Well, they'll be preaching it on one side.
Yeah.
And that's what you hear. They'll say that stuff. They'll Nancy Pelosi will say, I'm a strong, she said it like 2 days ago, I'm a strong Catholic woman.
Yeah.
Wait, if you're a strong Catholic woman, why are you such an advocate for abortion?
Right.
Because that doesn't sit well with your, Catholic.
Correct.
Or any type of Christianity.
Right.
In my view, that's my opinion.
I agree.
So they'll say whatever they want to say. And that's what's so disturbing is then they get kind of trapped and caught in it. And the reason why they're not doing it is because when they do it, it undermines. Okay, your basic question, why are the Democrats not taking advantage of moving more towards that kind of centrist, protective, patriotic view?
Right.
The reason why is the way that they have controlled power and influenced the 2020 election and actually have gone through since 2016 is developing a party of hate. Party of lies and a party of hate.
Yeah.
They have used hatred to basically paint Donald Trump and any Republican as an awful, horrible person.
Of course they have. I mean, that's politics, Jim.
Well, yeah, but it's not healthy politics.
No, it's not helping anything.
And how what they did, and here's the next part of that. What they did is they motivated literally tens of thousands of very powerful activists to act on their behalf. Which is why you saw the 2020 riots over the George Floyd issues. You saw the organized group, OFA, Organized for America, or Organized for Action, by Barack Obama and all his little small minion groups out there basically burn down cities, destroy and push back against law enforcement, push back against anything Republican, anything conservative. Bush, but they did it in mostly Democratic cities because conservative cities didn't put up with it as much. But they did that to get the headlines.
Right.
Now, the problem is if they step away from that and go back to moderate agenda, they lose those people. If they lose those people, they lose their activists.
Right.
If they lose the activists, they don't get the people that'll go ahead and bring in 5 or 10 ballots at the ballot box above their own on election day.
Yeah.
They've gone through and made the anger and the hatred the essential element of protecting this nation in their view, and they've manipulated the fear so people will act in ways that they would not normally do. Right. And if they back away from that, they actually lose that.
Yeah.
They lose people.
Agreed. Agreed. Interesting discussion about politics here today. Some great opinions, primarily from Jimmy. A few great opinions from Big Al. You guys will be on the blog this afternoon. Let's see if you guys agree with us or disagree with us. Jim, thanks so much, man.
You bet. Hey, I know we went a long time. We did not touch the economy, which we wanted to do.
Oh, we're going to get on that. I can do that later today, or we can do it tomorrow. Your choice.
Let's go ahead and hit it tomorrow, and we'll talk about PPI, because we'll have the CPI. PPI came
right
out today.
Right.
Producer Price Index. Tomorrow we get CPI. All inflation is looking bad. The Fed actions, and I think FIH out there is wanting to talk a little bit about that, and I think we can talk about it and talk about there's just really no good direction right now for the economy.
Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock Pacific time.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.